We can go to Genesis 3. Starting at the first verse. We're going to start at the first verse. So now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord had made, God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. All right, so we're going to stop there, and you can all be seated. Okay, so this lesson is, I guess this is like a part, not I guess, this is a part five to the lessons that God's given me on communication. This particular lesson, though, is called Two Sons. The first thing God wanted me to say is that, so we're going to be talking about spiritual warfare through three different stories, and one of those stories, I never saw spiritual warfare in it. However, that is what God wants me to talk about. And so what we're really talking about with spiritual warfare is, I know Joyce Myers has a book called The Battlefield of the Mind, and that that spiritual warfare starts in the mind. And so this conversation that we're going to begin talking about is the conversation that we each have within our own minds that is spiritual warfare. So another definition of it is spiritual warfare is the inward and outward battle we face against the enemy. So the second thing that God wanted me to say is that that spiritual warfare starts with a question. So if you look in Genesis 3, the serpent asked the woman, and he said unto the woman, yea, in verse number 1, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? So the spiritual warfare started with a question. And with that question, because she knew what to say, because Adam had told her the instructions from the Lord. However, as the serpent kept talking, she wasn't secured in the truth, so she was deceived, right? And so any unanswered question can be used as a weapon of the enemy. It's extremely important where you get the answers to your questions. I know that as I was growing up, I had a lot of questions that I didn't even ask or I didn't know to ask. However, because I didn't ask those questions or didn't know to ask them and I didn't get answers from the Word and from truth and from God, then I came up with my own answers based on my environment, right? And some of the answers I got were true because I went to Sunday school, because I went to church. Those answers I got were true. However, I didn't understand them. And if you don't understand the answer to your question, then there's no way for you to believe it. And then if you don't believe it, then you're not able to walk in it, right? And so Eve was deceived because she had a question, and even though she had the right answer, it wasn't settled in her heart. it wasn't settled in her spirit, where no matter what the enemy said after the question, she believed it with her whole heart. And so this is one of the reasons why I really do appreciate this church and growing older in this church, is because I thank God that I thank God for you, sister, for what you shared today, and I know that was took courage, because that we in this church, by God's grace, we've been able to create an environment where you can be honest, where you can tell the truth, where you can be vulnerable, where you can, and when you do that, then God can heal you. If you confess those faults and you confess where you're at and you get prayer and you do life together, you can actually be healed. So when I was growing up in church, though, the temptation was to hide. The temptation was to conceal. The temptation was to say the politically correct answer, because, and the politically correct answer is what caused destruction in my life. And so it was being religious. You know, so you know the right answer, so you say the right answer. However, you don't really believe that. And because you don't believe it, you cannot walk in it, because you don't really believe it. And so when the temptation comes, which is pressure, you know, and the desires come and all these different things would come to me, I fail. Like what the scripture says is that the winds come to the house that you built. And either it's built on the rock or it's built on sand. Yeah. And if it's built on sand, then it's going to crumble, right? And so that's just life. Like, life is going to happen to each and every one of us. None of us can walk through this life and not experience hurt and pain and temptation and desires and wants and voids and all these different things. Nobody gets through life without experiencing those things. And so it doesn't help you to be religious, you know, because I came to church on Wednesdays and Sundays. I went to Bible studies, you know. However, in those places, I was so concerned about my image. I was so concerned about how it would sound or how it looked. So then I didn't ask the questions or get the answers to the questions I really had. And what it says in the Bible, that when we do that, it describes as being a form of godliness and denying the power. And the reason why we deny the power of the Spirit of God is because we are just hearers and we're not doers of the word, right? So we hear and we don't understand, or we hear and we don't believe. And then, so if you don't believe, you're not going to do it when the pressure and the temptation comes. So what happens is that opened up the door to Eve to be deceived, right? And if we're not transparent about what we truly believe, then that's how we are deceived. So power comes, like I said before, in hearing, because it says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you must hear the word of God, and then knowing it, you know, understanding it, studying it, believing it, obeying it. That's what brings the actual transformational power of God. So it's greater than knowing the right answer. You know, it's greater than coming up here with the packets and knowing the answer. It has to be way deeper in you than that, okay? Not saying the packets are bad. Do the packets. Learn the word of God. You know, that's a part of the process. It's a process, though. You don't just stop right there at the packets. You know what I'm saying? So you read the packets, go over the packets again, keep reading the word of God each and every day, right? And so when you do that, you get stronger in the Lord. And then you study, you know, don't just read through the packets, study them, right? So that you understand what you believe and why you believe that. And then if you read the word and you studied the word and you still don't believe, ask God for revelation. Ask God to change your heart so that you believe what he is saying, right? And then the second thing that happened with in that story is you see that Eve was deceived and Adam disobeyed. So that's what happens when we know the truth, however we don't understand and fully believe it with everything, right? Like Sister Dawn was teaching last week, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. when you don't love him like that, then we don't have the ability to not be deceived and to obey, right? So that's the two things. It starts with a question, and if we don't get the right answer to that question and actually believe it and walk in it, then that opens us up to deception, and it opens us up to disobedience. So the second attack of the enemy after questions that aren't answered properly is we disobey God's instruction. So it's the trick of the enemy to cause us not to trust God's instruction and to fully believe what he asks us not to do is for our good. And so in verse number 5, you can see that the enemy touched on, he said, "For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And so what the serpent was doing was exposing an insecurity that Eve had, right? So that's why, I think 3 years ago probably now, God started telling me, "You have everything you need." And then he started telling me, "We have everything we need." And then tons of songs started talking about, you know, coming out and talking about, "We have everything we need." And the reason why that's so important to really get that into your spirit and really believe that is that having everything you need is having a relationship with God. That's everything that you need. And if I or we believe anything opposite than that, that's how we're deceived, and that's how we walk in disobedience. And we will make decisions out of insecurities and out of a lie and not the truth. So, and the enemy also was planting a seed that God was taking or keeping something that she needed from her, right? And the truth is that he is everything we need, and when we have a relationship with him, we have all the things, every single thing that we could hope for, desire, wish, and that he will fill all those voids that we have. So there's three ways in which we are tempted, which is talked about in 1 John 2:16. "For all this is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." So the lust of the flesh has to do with anything that will satisfy your physical body, okay? So that could be food, that could be alcohol, drugs, adultery, fornication, stuff like that. Anything that satisfies your physical body. The lust of the eyes is desiring something that is not yours or it's not time for you to have. That's the lust of the eyes. And then the pride of life is things that we can become prideful about. So it could be possessions, it could be influence, it could be fame, it could be accomplishments, accolades, you know, things that make you look good, right? So those are the three ways in which the enemy came against Eve, and how he comes against each and every one of us when a temptation comes. Those are the three ways. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And so you can see that Eve looked at the fruit and she saw that it looked good. So that's the lust of the flesh. And the lust of the eyes, that the actual fruit was not hers and it was never going to be hers. It was God's. And so she desired something that she should not desire because it was not hers, right? And the enemy promised her the knowledge of good and evil, which is the pride of life, that she would have something that God did not intend for people to have, because we wouldn't know. It would be difficult for us to steward that knowledge and do the right thing. And so the enemy is old. That's the best way I can say it, is that he's old. And he's been doing the same things for thousands of years. So without having a relationship with God, you're not going to overcome the enemy. You're just not. Because he studies. Because he knows what works with people. He just knows. And he does the same thing over and over and over again for thousands and thousands of years. On this side of heaven, we might live 100, maybe 80, 90, 70, who knows? we're going to live this amount of time, and he's been living thousands of years, right? Until, of course, we're in glory and we live forever. I'm just saying, on this side of heaven, we've got to be connected to God, who's been existing, you know, forever. Like, he's eternal. Because if we're not, we're not able to overcome or defeat an evil spirit that's been doing this evil for thousands of years and been practicing it and doing it for thousands of years and is organized. So we must have a relationship with God. And we must really watch the questions that we have and where we get the answers. So the enemies, you know how Sister Dawn was talking about a mission statement for the youth group? Well, the enemy has a mission statement, right? And it is to kill, steal, and destroy. Like, that's his whole mission. That's what he does at all times. Kill, steal, and destroy. And the scripture says that Jesus also has a mission. He came that we might have life and that more abundantly, right? And so he's not willing that any of us should perish, instead that all of us would come to repentance. And so his mission is greater and more powerful. However, like I said before, the enemy is organized. And so we have to be very intentional on how we live our lives. That's why in 30 days a year, a lot of the women are being taught to be consistent and be disciplined. Why? Because that is how you will effectively overcome the enemy, is if you are disciplined and you are consistent with your walk with God, so that you are connected. So we're going to go to Matthew 4, 1 through 11, and we're going to talk about how Satan tempted Jesus. So Matthew 4, 1 through 11, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." So first, that you see right there, if it's food, it has to do with your physical body. So that is the lust of the flesh. So the enemy, he attacked his identity, "If you are the Son of God," and he offered him food, right? And then it says in verse number 4, this is Jesus' answer, "But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.'" So we can see there that Jesus responded with the word of God. So Eve also responded with the word of God. However, she wasn't secure in the word. And so when the next question came, then that's when she was deceived and she fell. So let's see what happened with Jesus. Verse number 5. "Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone.' And Jesus said to him, 'It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God.'" So what the enemy was tempting Jesus to do was to perform this like extravagant, miraculous miracle in the temple and impress all the people so everybody believed on him, which is the lust of the eyes. It was, so, and why I say that is it wasn't time for Jesus to come back. You know what I'm saying? It says in the Bible he's going to come back to the temple mount. It wasn't time. So coveting is wanting something out of timing. It's wanting something that's not yours or something and even further than that, it's wanting something out of timing. So the enemy was attempting to get him to do something out of timing, even though it was his. Does that make sense? Now, verse number 8. "Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, 'All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.' Then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and ministered to him. So this last temptation was the pride of life. He was tempting Jesus with power, to have power or authority over all the kingdoms of the world, right? What's interesting about that temptation is Jesus already had power. After he died on the cross, he already had power, or even before then, he already had power over all the kingdoms of the world. And so that's the same temptation that he comes to with us. He tempts us with an illegitimate way to get our needs or desires or wants fulfilled, right? And like I said, we already have everything we need. We already have everything we need. And if we don't truly say that, believe that, trust in that, walk in that, then the enemy can tempt you with what you already have. He can say, oh, I'll give it to you in this other perverted way. And then he'll bring destruction into your life. Then he can bring deception. Then he can bring disobedience. Then he can bring all this other stuff, because you're getting something that you already have because you have God. He'll bring it to you in a twisted way that will cause sorrow, that will cause pain, that will cause you to lose it in the end, right? And that is the trick of the enemy. And so I was listening to this podcast, this man, he's a comedian, he used to sell dope, and he was talking about, he was praying and asking God to like get him out of that lifestyle. And he said he started reading the Bible, and as he read the Bible, he got further and further away from like the streets and doing the things he was doing. And he said that in the Bible, it was telling him that if you gain these things illegitimately, if you gain them doing evil, you're going to lose it. And it's like that started like a seed in his heart and started convicting him, because he was willing to pick up the Bible and start reading, so that it says that the Bible will cleanse your heart, right, in your mind. And so that's the reason why we read our Bible. We're asked to read our Bibles each and every day, is so that we can think right? Because if you hear it in church, that's one thing. However, when you read it and you study it, and then you start believing it, and then you can walk in it, and that's exactly what this man did. So let's go to James 4:7 and look at how Jesus resisted the devil. And so Jesus is our example. Whatever he does, he gives us the power and strength to also do. So in James 4, verse number 7, it says, submit yourselves therefore to God. So a lot of times I realize that we say that half of the scripture, not the whole thing. So the first thing is, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. So submitting to God is being obedient to the Lord. So when we are obedient to God, then we can resist the devil and he'll leave. However, if we are not obedient to God, we don't have the strength to resist the devil. If we don't have his word, then we don't have an answer for the questions that we have, which are our temptation, right? We're going to go to 2 Corinthians 10:4-6. 2 Corinthians 10:4-6. Oh, maybe. There's not a way. There it goes. Yeah, 10:4-6. Okay. Okay, there we go. Actually, we're going to start in verse number 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So, one moment, I got to look at one thing, make sure I'm accurate. So, so a stronghold is an idea, okay? And the idea that, so an idea or a belief that you have, and it's What happens is you believe it so long that it becomes strong. It becomes like a castle, like in your mind, right? So in this whole passage, all this does is talk about, like the lady said in her book, The Battlefield of the Mind, it talks about the conversation that you're having internally, between your ears, how you're thinking, right? So it says first, we don't wrestle against flesh, and we don't walk in the flesh, and we don't war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty to God to the pulling down of strongholds, right? So God, through his word, through relationship with him, through belief, through understanding, through walking with him, we're able to pull down beliefs that are wrong. And it says casting down imaginations. That's also, for instance, when Eve, the verses are so quick, this process is very fast. That's another thing I want to say, pause. A lot of times we just be making decisions. And that whole process could just be happening, you don't even know. You need to pause, you need to wait, you need to think. You know what I'm saying? And I know when I was growing up, I did not do that. I was just making decisions. Just making decisions. Like, calm down, pause, and think, and wait. And think about the end of the thing while you're in the beginning of it. You know, think, if you pause, you will help yourself so much if you just stop and wait. Because not stopping and waiting messes you up. Just pause, relax, calm down. Stop this whole process that is going like this so fast. Pause. So it says that it's casting down imaginations in every high thing. So an imagination is, she imagined what it was gonna be like to have the knowledge of good and evil. She imagined it. She didn't know what it was. She made it up. So we have to be careful of our imaginations of what it's gonna be like, what this experience is gonna be, what we're gonna gain. We're gonna make this stuff up. And the word is telling us that's not what's gonna happen. And you don't need to experience it for you to figure out it's not what's gonna happen. You gotta trust what the Lord said. Cast down imaginations in every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Once again, the thoughts, the imaginations, the beliefs, we put these things that are in our mind, in our spirit, above God, who actually knows everything. We make it higher than him when it's not. And it says instead we're supposed to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. How do you do that? What God had me doing, because my thinking was so bad during part of this year that I was literally getting depressed because my thoughts were so bad. And what I started doing is I started seeing what are the reoccurring lies of the enemy that are coming against me and what is the truth. And every single morning when I would pray, I would just read over what God was saying about my situation in these different areas so that I could believe the truth and have something to combat the enemy. The scripture says that the word of God is the sword of the spirit, right? So it's unwise to do, and we're gonna be defeated. If we just let thoughts and imaginations and feelings and beliefs just be running through your head and you don't check any of it. You just let it all in and you just dwell on it and you meditate on it and you think about it all day. And then slowly, how you're thinking is how you're feeling, and then you're acting it out, right? So instead, we're supposed to bring those thoughts. If they don't agree with the word of God, you gotta capture those things. You gotta bring those things down and bring it into the obedience of Christ, okay? So, the safeguard against the enemy is to seek God for the answers to our questions. When we do sin, we need to repent as quickly as possible and be, like my dad preached on Sunday, willing and obedient to fully allow God to lead us through the journey of loving him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, like Sister Dawn spoke about last week. And God will lead us into becoming a disciple of him and to becoming more like him. So the point of temptation is to remove connection with God It's to remove that connection with God, ourselves, and other people. So I'm going to play this video for you, because I was like, that is exactly what God showed me. So I'm going to play this video for you. It's not going to be up there. You're just going to hear the audio. Let me find it.
Imagine what it would be like you could just do you. You ain't gotta cook, you ain't gotta clean, you ain't gotta take care of nobody. It's just all about you. You travel. Mm. And I'm like, what is this? Mm. But that's the trap right there. Mm. Just imagine.
Yeah.
If you allow that door to the devil, and now you're like, man, I'll go on vacation, I'll do this.
And the thing is, we'd probably be miserable.
Yes. And who knows what it's
happening. But the trap was to get her to imagine.
Because then it's a seed.
Yeah.
But you don't got the fine print of what the devil has for you. And what STD you gonna get if you sleep around. And what disease you gonna get. And what the devil's gonna do to your kids.
Uh-huh.
Because you just open a door to your house, right? And so I was like, what is this? And I felt the Lord say, you need to resist this evil spirit. And I said, I resist these thoughts right now, and I resist the devil right now. You will not have my house, and you will not take me out of my post.
Come on,
because that's what it is.
Yeah.
Get out your post.
Leave
your position.
Uh-huh.
Why? Because once I leave and I'm in sin and doing my thing, I lose a wonderful husband. My kids don't want to be around me, and now I feel so far from God. You should leave God too.
All right. So, how she described the enemy coming against her when she was unhappy in her marriage was an idea. What would it be like if, right? And she paused. She was driving and she paused and she asked God, what is this, right? See, it's so important, because it's so important to pay attention to how you're thinking. Because if you're just kind of, because honestly, I was in this this leadership course, and that was one of the biggest things, to make you aware, right? Not just kind of living, make you aware of what you're thinking, how, what you're doing, what's happening in your life. And so we need to be a lot more honest and aware of where we're at, what's coming against our mind. And I love that that's powerful that her first response was to go to God and say, what is this? Right? She had a question and she went to God for the answer. And that's why it's so important to have a relationship with God. Because if you have a relationship with God, when a problem or situation comes, then you will go to Him because you have a relationship with Him. I was listening to somebody talk about the relationship with God, and they were saying, if I didn't pray every single day, then God would be a stranger to me. And so when I had a problem, I'm not going to go to a stranger. You don't talk to strangers. Like, you know, you like can be cordial. How you doing? And you keep going. Or maybe you don't even do that. If you have a relationship with God and a connection with God, then He's not a stranger. And so when things are happening, just like you go to your best friend when something happens, your spouse, your brother, your sister, your whoever. If you have an actual relationship with God, you'll go to Him first. What is this? What is going on? And you'll pause so that you can make the right decision. I believe I'm supposed to stop there. I will continue on this a different week. We can all stand. Praise God. God, we come before you. We ask you, God, that you would just help us, oh God, in temptation. Help us to know it's a temptation. Help us to resist the enemy by submitting ourselves to you, God. Help us to have a true relationship with you and go to you each and every day. Help us to continue to build our relationship with you in praying, oh God, in fasting, Lord, in reading our word, in being in community with one another, in doing 30 days a year, in being transparent, in praying and loving one another well, God. I pray, oh Lord, that we will just continue to resist the enemy, Lord, and that he will flee from us, that we will be overcomers, Lord, that we will do exactly what you would have us to do, and help us, oh God, to get the true answers, Lord Jesus, from the questions that we have. Help us not to be deceived, and help us not to walk in disobedience. Help us to believe that we truly have everything we need when we have a relationship with you. Help each and every one of us to have a hunger and thirst for righteousness, a hunger and thirst to seek you and to know you for ourselves, Lord Jesus, so that we may be powerful and so that we may be a light to help others that are in need. Please help us to overcome, oh Lord Jesus, the tricks of the enemy and the ways of thinking and the cycles, Lord, that the enemy has kept us in. Help us to break free and break forth, oh God. And I pray for breakthrough, oh Lord. And you said that there's going to be a flood. So I pray that each and every one of us has overcome something so that we can contribute to the souls, oh God, that are going to come and want to know about the hope that lives within us, oh God. That want to know that you are more powerful, oh God. Help them to see the power and the light in the lives we live. Because we overcame, oh God, through you and in you. That we can, oh God, share, Lord Jesus, the how we overcame, Lord Jesus, because we trusted you, oh God, and give hope, Lord Jesus, and a testimony to those who also need to overcome, oh Lord. Lord Jesus, I pray that we will be, Lord Jesus, you said that we are in a battle, Lord Jesus, and you said that we are soldiers, Lord. Help us to identify with that truth, oh God, and help us, oh God, to be willing and obedient in the name of Jesus. Help us to walk in the light as you are in the light, oh God. When we are fatigued, oh God, make us strong, oh God. Help us to go to you in our weariness. Help us to go into you in our hurt, in our pain, in our confusion, in our questions. Help us to go to you. For you are more than able, oh God, to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we'd ever ask or think. And we thank you and praise you, oh God, for that. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Playing music.